This is the Top Agents Playbook podcast, episode number 6.
Welcome to the Top Agents Playbook podcast, your source for the very best tools, tips and ideas used by real estate's top performers. Now here's your host, Ray Wood.
Well, hi everybody and welcome back. I first met Troy Kincaid in November of 2012. Aaron Shiner and I were holding a coaching and training event, and Troy and his business partner Mark came along. They sat in the front row. They took plenty of notes. And at the end of our session of our day, they took us up on our offer to grab the packages that we were offering, and they went away and we didn't hear from them for a while. Now, Aaron and I have got a theory that about 10% of a room in a situation like that will actually pick something up and take it away and make it work. It takes a lot of discipline. You're changing habits and you're doing a lot of different things. Well, long story short, Troy and Mark really made it work. Fast forward to today, they've got a market share of over 40% in Colac, Victoria, which is a regional centre of about population 12,000. It's a big farming area. And the guys have done amazingly, we think, in the last few years, putting all of these success solutions, I guess, and packages and systems into place. And as you'll hear during this interview, where Troy shares just about everything I ask him, in fact, everything and then some, you don't need to take notes because everything that you'll need is in the show notes. And I've included that if you just go to topagentsplaybook.com and check it out there. So I know you're going to enjoy this interview. I want to thank Troy up front for giving us some time and sharing everything. I know you're going to get a heap out of it, a lot of great ideas. So let's get into it.
I'm Troy Kincaid, and you're listening to the Top Agents Playbook podcast.
Hi, everybody. It's Ray Wood, and I'm with Troy Kincaid from Richardson's Real Estate in Colac, Victoria. How are you going, Troy?
Good, Ray. Thanks for having me on the show.
Mate, thank you so much for setting aside some time to join us. I know you're a big Collingwood fan. Are you pumped for the year? Ambitious?
Well, I was pumped till last weekend when we played the Bulldogs, and they beat us by 10 goals.
But that's pre-season,
so
though, isn't it?
Put me back in the box a bit.
That's pre-season though, isn't it? Not too much drama.
Pre-season. So the real season gets underway. Next Thursday night, Collingwood play the Brisbane Lions up in the Gabba.
Well, good luck for the season, mate, is all I can say. I hope it's a great season for you guys. Troy, I wanted to talk to you. You guys have had amazing success. Tell me a little bit about Colac, please, just so everybody listening knows the size of the town, etc.
Yeah, no worries, Ray. Colac is about an hour and a half southwest of Melbourne. Population's around 12,000, and we've got around 4,000 homes in Colac.
Okay. Average sale price?
Average sale price at the moment is about $230,000, so it's not very high.
Okay. Your story that interests me, and I want to talk about this because anybody who's in a similar situation, in fact, anybody in real estate will be able to pick up so much from what you're about to share with us, because one of the reasons I wanted to get you on the show is because you actually, I like the way you found out what you needed to do and then you started doing it. But you guys went from $450,000 a year in commission to $850,000 in 12 months. Can you tell me how all of this started? What brought it about? What was your motivation?
Yeah, no worries, Ray. So actually, I seen it on the internet. I don't know when it was, and I said to Mark, who works with me in the office, there's this guy that sells 200 properties a year, and his name was Aaron Shiner, and I sort of laughed at the time, had a bit of a joke with Mark, and he said, "Oh, we should go and check that out because there was a seminar coming up in Melbourne." This is back in 2012 in November.
Yes.
So we booked a ticket with your good self and Aaron Shiner.
Yes.
And from there, it's just everything's just fallen into place pretty much.
You're at the point now where I think you've got, is it over 40% of the market in your area?
Yeah. So at the moment, currently as it stands, it's 41% market share.
Okay. So Can you tell me some of the main things that you did when, after you spent that day with Aaron and I, what actually transpired, and can you tell me a bit about that journey?
Yeah, no problem. From that day that we went down, there was so much information that we took on board. So when we first come back, our heads were spinning. And it was the basic things to start with that that we weren't doing. And a lot of that stuff was in regards to the database. Now, our database, we didn't utilise it at all. We didn't even have a database. So it was like, you know, when we listened to everything that was said, that was one of the points that that you guys said, that you need to utilize your database,
right,
and get to as many people, you know, as you can on a regular basis.
Yes. You were just using like nothing, or were you using cards?
No, card, paper.
Okay.
Anyone that we talked to, I'd write them down on a piece of paper, and, you know, and that was it.
Okay.
So it was just, you know, so we set that up. So we loaded all our past sales.
Yep.
So that was like, we've been in business for 10 years now.
Yep.
So we end up putting we had all the files, but
yes,
they were just put away and they were just never used.
Right.
So we come back, and that was the first thing that we did. We put every past sale that we'd had into our database.
Right.
All right. So we tidied up all our active sales appraisals and business that we'd done in that 10 years. So they all went in there, and then they got like a timeline. So we set up daily tasks for our agents that they needed to talk to these people on a regular basis.
Okay. Now,
just to find out where the appraisal was, you know, if they were going to come on the market, if they'd sold, that sort of thing, so we could, you know, we could track it. So that was the first thing we did.
How long did that take, Troy?
Oh, that was probably, I reckon it was over 12 months by the time from when we started to when we finished with all the sales that we'd had. So we just started doing it, you know, as much as we could, you know, as we went along.
Okay. Okay. What else did you do?
So, there's a heap of things that we took out of it. So we set up like our purchases from our open days that we did, inspections. So we recorded all their details. So
right. If
someone used to go to our open day, well, we never used to ring them back. We never recorded it. We never did any of that. So that was one thing that I thought, right, okay, so how are we going to get this to be able to track these people, ring these people, so then, you know, we could then go back to our owners and let them know what people were saying about the home, because from people that went through our open day, we didn't even get their names or anything. So that was another thing that we took away, that everyone that went through, they're all recorded. It's basic stuff that that we did, but it just, you know, just the little things, it was so many little things that we did that actually got us to, you know, to double, pretty much double in 12 months.
Yeah. How soon after you came back did you start seeing an improvement in results?
Oh, within 3 months.
Right.
The first initial period, nothing sort of happened because it was just so much stuff that we're trying to implement. And
yep,
we worked out, we wrote a list down of all the stuff that we learned on the day, and then we just reprioritised what we thought needed to be done straight away. Now, there's still some things that we're doing now that from that 2 years ago that we're still implementing.
Yeah. Boy, was that hard? I mean, that's like a real discipline issue. And I'm just second guessing. A lot of people listening to this would be saying, "Boy, I don't know if I could actually do that. If I could put all of that data in, spend the time 12 months doing it." I mean, I think a lot of people want to do it, but was it hard to, like, I'm digging here looking for answers. Was it hard to actually bring about?
Not really. The thing I took out was actually what you said, that 5% of agents will actually implement. They'll get all the stuff, all the ideas, but then they'll go back and 2 weeks later, they're back to their old, you know, old ways.
Yeah, yeah.
Where when we had a plan that we spoke about in the car on the way home, and then we had a meeting and we teed up meetings, and we do meetings every week now, training and things like that. We never used to do any of that. And then we just went through in our business meetings every week what we're going to implement, what we need to work on, you know, and ideas and, you know, things that we're still doing today that, you know, what's going to work in the market.
Yeah, okay. Wow. Well, that's quite a successful strategy that you've put into place, and I mean, you've got the runs on the board to prove it as well. So
yep.
In terms of, you were telling me before, quite a few of your properties, I think it's like over 20%, actually sell for a price in excess of what you're asking. Do you mean you're selling by auction, or is it private sale? Can you tell me how that works?
Yeah, it's all private sale, Ray. So 22% of our properties at the moment we're selling over the asking price.
Okay.
So I know when we were there at the seminar, and Aaron said, if you do something more than once, you need to have a system for it. Okay. Now we sell a property, and we sell a number of properties now. So there's a system for everything that happens when a property is going to go on the market. So just a quick shot, just to give you a 1 minute overview of it. So what we do when a property goes to the market is we explain to the owners what's going to happen. So there's a process in place from when the property is going to get photos, when it goes on the market. Our properties will only ever go on the market on a Tuesday. No one will go through the property until the Saturday, the first open day.
Right.
Okay, so that's where we create competition for the vendors, from the buyers that go through. All right, so we're not just looking for the first buyer that's going to buy it. We're looking for the best buyer. So when they go through the open day, that creates a competition with other people there, which then will obviously, sometimes I've had, properties had 7 offers on it.
Wow.
Once you get to that point, well, you're going to sell for over the asking price. But it's about getting competition from the buyers, which in turn is, at the moment we're 22% over the asking price.
Wow. Wow.
So that's a thing that we've implemented. So everything in our office now has got a system for it. When the photos are taken, when the property goes on the internet, when our database, all our match buyers get a notification from SMS, email, or we phone call them.
Yep.
Prior to the paper on a Friday. So every property goes in the paper on the Friday with the open day the next day. All right. So I won't take a listing on unless they're having an open day on the Saturday.
Okay. Okay. But that's another thing that you weren't doing back 2 years ago. I've got to wonder what you were doing, because you were doing, you're making 450, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. Because we just didn't it hadn't been to seminars, we hadn't been to anything before.
Yep.
So we didn't know what to do.
You didn't know any different, I guess.
No, we didn't know any different, pretty much. And the other agents in the town, well, no one was doing open days. And, so Aaron said about his 20-minute open days to create that competition. They're all there at the same time. So that's where, as he said, like the first 10 minutes he gets people, the last 10 minutes he gets people, and the 10 minutes in the middle, no one turns up. You're doing nothing.
Yes.
Whereas they all come through at the same time. So
your opens are that long?
20 minutes, yep.
Yep, okay.
We open the door. We set things up in our open day. So we think we're world-class with our open days, with our pointer boards, our flags, everything that we do. We give packs out to all the people that come through, brochures, stamp duty on property. There's a heap of information in there.
Right. Is that like a buyer's kit?
It's a buyer's kit, exactly. So every person that comes through will get a buyer's kit on that particular property.
Right.
And it has all the information in there. And there could be 20 pieces of information in there for them.
Wow. Okay. The other thing you've told me that's going on is that your average commission has increased.
Yes.
Can you tell me how that came about?
Yeah, well, pretty much what we did with everything we've learned, I found that I used to get everyone, you'd sit down and you'd go through it, and you'd be negotiating your fee, and the next thing you're doing it, for less than what you wanted to start with.
Yes.
Now that obviously we're so systemised and we're seen as a professional, very rarely get challenged on our fee, and at the moment we charge 3.5%
right.
of the sale price, and if a property sold for over that price, we get 10% kicker.
Okay.
And that's across the board with all our sales.
Wow. So for the extra amount, it's a 10% fee.
Yes.
Anything over the
asking price. So hence, if we sell the same amount of homes, I think we're up it's $100,000, from last June already, and I think we've got less sales in commission because of, what we've done. But we're just saying now as a specialist, and, I think even you were talking about, if you're seen as a specialist, well, that's when you'll get your fee. If they don't see you as a specialist and you don't actually have what we say to people is when they're sitting down and they're going through the process with us, if they're not sure about if we're the right person to sell at home, well, they're gonna try and get a cheaper fee anyway, aren't they?
Of course.
Whereas this way, they're happy because they see you as a professional.
Well, that must have really influenced or had an effect on your personal confidence. I mean, when you're there presenting, you've got a great product in your system and your agency and the way everything works and the results you're producing, which I guess is why your clients are literally buying into it.
That's right. And they buy into it. And like all the training and everything that we do now, we didn't used to do any training because we probably didn't know what we're going to say anyway. But now it's we know what we're going to say, even if we do get challenged on fee, if they don't want to do advertising, these sort of things. Like our marketing has gone from 752 years ago, and our average marketing base for clients now is about $2,600.
So hang on, you're talking about for our non-Australian New Zealand listeners, this is the amount that your sellers pay in a marketing levy, is that right?
Yes. So marketing they'll pay, on average at the moment, it's about $2,600 in marketing.
Okay.
So, like, which is usually, as I say, it's about 1% people should allow to sell a property, and at $230,000, which is our normal median price in the market, that's just over 1% that we're getting. And if you can achieve that, well, then that obviously helps your brand and yourself and the paper, all that sort of type. You just get recognised for it.
A lot of the American and Canadian members are completely bamboozled when I tell them that Australian and New Zealand agents are getting 3%+, plus they're having the owner contribute and meet all of the marketing costs.
No.
So it's very that system, I guess, is very much at home in Australia and New Zealand. But do you have any issues selling? Do you have a range of marketing packages that you offer?
Yeah, sorry, right. So there's three packages that we offer, but they can tailor what they want.
Right.
But because we believe in the marketing and what we do now, it's so easy to sell it.
Yes.
It was harder to sell $750 worth of marketing campaign 2 years ago than what it is today to sell $2,600 worth.
Yeah, that's phenomenal. So you're getting three times what you were back
what we
then.
Were.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So that's obviously helping our profile and that as well. When paper, we go in the paper and there's some good photos and, our brand's all on there and things like that as well, where that never used to happen.
Do you have professional photos taken?
Yep, every property's got professional photos.
Yeah, okay.
And we do videos now. We never used to do videos, but we're doing videos. I think we're the only ones in our area that do videos, and that sort of just started probably in the last 6 months.
Yeah, I've seen your videos. They're great. In fact, I'm going to post a couple of your videos up onto the show notes with this. If by the way, if you're listening and you want to check out some of the info in the show notes for this interview with Troy, head over to topagentsplaybook.com and you'll be able to listen to the interview again. It'll just be on screen. You can grab it on iTunes. Don't forget to subscribe, and you can also check out the show notes there as well. Troy, can I ask you to take me through a typical weekday, not open house weekends and stuff, but a typical day you're prospecting? How does it work? What does it look like?
Yeah. Okay, so just for example, today we're in the office at 7 o'clock. We have a meeting, so training this morning goes for an hour.
Right.
And then from 9 to 11, I do my prospecting. All right, so
describe what you do in specifically. What are you doing from 9 to 11?
So 9 to 11, I have tasks. So in my task book, it'll have people that have either had an appraisal done or it's a sale anniversary, these sort of people. So they're all there. There's no cold calls at all.
Right.
So they're all warm contacts that I will ring for that 2 hours. Anyone else that I've been talking to that week or whatever the other calls that I need to make, I make in that period. Sometimes I'll go to 12 o'clock, but I won't go out of the office before lunchtime. So all my appointments are all booked for the afternoon.
Okay.
So I've got 5 appointments booked for Sarvo, and I do them on an hourly thing from 1 o'clock, 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5.
And are these listing appointments or buyer appointments? Or
yeah, today, could be either or? Today at the moment, we've got what we do is we just started last week. We did one last year. We do twice a year, which is called the price drive.
Okay.
So we're doing that at the moment. So I've got 5 price drives tomorrow.
Okay.
So with that, what we've done is they get a book, Ray Wood, How to Sell Your Home for More.
Okay.
They get the sold information for the last 6 months.
Right.
They get 9 critical mistakes not to how to undersell your home.
Yep.
Okay, so there's a whole lot of information, and then we do what's just a free appraisal on their home. So we go there 10, 15 minutes, and then we'll go through and we send them out a report, a CMA, in comparable sales and things like that in the mail. Now, some of those people, if we know that they're really keen to sell, it'll take longer. But this, if they say we're 12 months away, well, then that's great. We put them in the system, then we follow them up for the next 12 months. But there's one today that they want to sell. They want to be on the market next week. So obviously then I'll go through a presentation and that with them. And that's the last appointment I've got at 5 o'clock. So they're the last one I'm doing.
Okay. Okay. And your weekends, tell me what a Saturday's like. I guess you're doing opens. What time are you starting, like 11?
Yeah, so our open days, our first open day, we kick off at 9:30.
Right.
And we go right through to 1 o'clock.
Wow, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
So...
Gee, how convenient. How convenient it's finished before the football starts.
Yeah, so we do that all till 1 o'clock. We find after 1 o'clock it doesn't usually work that well.
Okay.
In our town. So we do them in the morning, 9:30 through to 1 o'clock. So most weekends we'll have 6 or 8 open days.
Okay, okay. Troy, what about when a new contact comes into the business? How do you care for them? How do you handle them? How does the new contact funnel work at Richardson's?
Yep. Okay. For example, if we get a buyer that comes in today, they fill out a form which is called a buyer's registration form, very similar to what Aaron's got.
Right.
So we've copied so much stuff off Aaron's off his templates and everything that we've got from when we've joined up. The best agents.
Yes.
Now, with that, someone will come in, we get their name, their details, and it obviously talks about, you know, if they need to sell a home and when they're looking, they've been to the bank and all this sort of information, what price the home's going to be. Now, we put that into our system, right? So if they're a buyer, then they get followed up. So our buy sheet get printed every week, okay? So we follow these buyers up and we match them up in our database to our new homes.
Okay. Do you grade them as, like, if they're ready to buy? Are they like A or B class or whatever?
Yeah. So we put down time frame when they're looking to have a property buy. So if someone's a hot buyer, if they're a category that we put into the system that they will come through every week, and then some might only come monthly.
Okay.
All right. So if they're a while away from buying, we will still keep in touch with them and give them, you know, an SMS or something of new properties that come through. But the hot buyers we would call.
Okay.
I would ring them up, say, this property's about to hit the market today. So every Tuesday, our properties go on the market and we SMS or we phone call our buyers.
Okay.
The hot buyers, I would send an SMS and then I would ring them in the afternoon to say this property's going to be open Saturday.
Okay. How's your response rate going with your text messaging?
Oh, brilliant.
Okay.
Well, I reckon 98% of the text messages get read.
Okay.
And I get phone calls back from people wanting to have a look through some homes. So just say, for example, the property goes on the market on the Tuesday. The Wednesday, they've been and had a look at the home that they've got our SMS on the Tuesday. A lot of people want to go and have a look through the home before the Saturday, so we won't let anyone through the property.
Okay.
So they won't go through that home until the first open day. So we just say that the owner's doing a few things to the property or there's a tenant in there or whatever it may be, but we can get you through on the Saturday.
Yes. Okay.
All right.
Now, are you on the properties on the internet with all the major domains by then and on your website?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
So it goes on 9 websites. When a property gets listed with us, domainrealestate.com, our own website, there's a few other sites as well.
Have you looked at what kind of percentage of inquiry is coming through online these days?
Yeah, so we study all that from where our buyers are coming from. I think at the moment 38% of buyers are coming from the internet.
Right.
We've got 32% of the buyers are coming from our database. Then you've got your signboards, the flyers and the paper make up the rest of the 30%.
Okay, interesting. That's an interesting split. Okay, that's buyers. What about when a potential seller, comes into the office or you meet them at an open or they respond to some of your marketing? How are they treated internally? How do you nurture them through to the point when they're until they list?
Yep. So what happens, they'll come, for example, the people I'm doing the price drive for today that we know there's a couple of them are 12 months away. So everyone goes into our system and it'll be either weekly, it'll either be monthly or 3 months, 6 months, 12 months. Because we might have someone that says, well, I'm not going to sell for 10 years. We just put them in there on a yearly basis.
Okay.
But they still get all our marketing.
Yep.
All right, so with our marketing at the moment, we never used to do any marketing, and you're the king of the direct mail.
Yeah.
We send out 2,000 mail drops every week. There's 4,000 homes, so every home gets two types of either flyers, letters that we sent, postcards, these sort of things. Every second week they get something in the mail from us.
Okay, and how's your response rate going with that?
Yeah, really good.
Okay.
We're finding that... Well, I actually just got a listing this week. The lady from our Colac Herald, she's rang me because she does all our letters.
Right.
She prints all our letters, and she said, I know how many letters and what you do and how much you send out, so that's why I thought I'd give you a ring.
Okay.
So that was a good one.
What, she's selling?
She's selling, yeah.
Okay.
So they do. She did the print, and then I asked because everyone that rings up and if they want to get a, I'll say, oh, why did you call us today? And she said, well, actually, I do all your flyers. I know how busy you are.
So your flyers are going out inside your local paper?
No, we get them professionally printed.
Yes.
Right. So if we do if we sell a property, we'll have the home that was sold. We record how many days on the market, how many buyers we had, how many competing offers, how many hits on the internet, all that information.
Yep.
Right. And we will send that flyer out at some point in the near future.
Okay.
For every property that's been sold. So
right.
We record that. Then we'll send it out saying this property's been sold for, you know, for $2,000 or $10,000, $20,000 over the asking price, and this is a story of what happened with the property.
Well, that, I mean, the success you've had around that is amazing. Have you, like, your local paper and your vendors are paying for this marketing? They're all professional photographs, and they're, you said you're getting pretty good response from that?
Yes, great. And I think it might have been you that said a picture tells 1,000 words. Now,
sure.
With that, nearly every other agent in our town, a couple of them are catching on to what we're doing, they only have one photo in the paper.
Right.
Right, of the property. Now,
yep.
When a property goes in the paper with us, sometimes some of the ads that we run, there could be 7 photos of that property in the paper in their ad.
Right.
No, they want to see what the kitchen's like and what the bathroom's like. And
yes.
If they can see that, then it's more likely they'll make a decision to come and have a look at it the next day at the open day than just one photo. They can't see anything.
Yeah, so multiple photos are more engaging to your market is what
yes.
You're saying. Okay.
Yep.
Troy, you guys have got 41% of the market, I think I wrote down.
Yep.
So what's next? How do you stay out in front? What are you doing? Give us your secrets.
That's the next thing. We're just obviously with our meetings and that we do every week, just our marketing. Obviously, Facebook and things like that is huge, and that's an area that we've really started to really concentrate on in the last few months.
Yes.
So, you know, how we're going to build our brand and get our likes up and things like that, and all that type of social media, from Twitter to, you know, I think that's the way the world's going. They want to see things quickly, don't they?
Well, it's interesting. A recent podcast that I did, you and I were talking about it with Peter Brewer, and he talks about your digital twin. And your digital twin, for those of you who don't know, is, for example, here's Troy. What's he? He's like his offline personality and his marketing and all of the things that you've just talked about. His offline marketing's all in place. But what's he like online? In other words, what's his digital twin look like? Can you see the website on a mobile phone or on a tablet? Is it available in different platforms, etc.? Because that's something that's increasingly important. And, you know, tech-savvy sellers are looking for tech-savvy agents, and they're really looking to connect with somebody that speaks their language. And if you can't offer it, one of your competitors will. But you guys have obviously taken the high ground and are doing this very, very well. So, all power to you. It's impressive. Tell me, if somebody was looking to copy your success, and I'm sure everybody listening to this is, what are the top three things that you'd advise?
Right, the top three things if someone was starting in real estate or was wanting to, try and get to the next level. Because
yes.
Everyone, obviously, as an agent, wants to get their next listing, get their next sale, obviously, you know, to improve. The three probably things that I would say that have improved me as an agent, not in any order, Aaron's On Top of Your Game CD.
Right.
Now, that CD that we got initially, I was blown away by the information that I got from that. So in regards to Aaron's CD in there, it tells you what to say when you pick up the phone and someone rings in that they want to get an appraisal done. He tells you word for word what you should say and the questions you should ask. And he also talks about when you get to the home, what you should do, what you should say. So there's scripts and dialogue that are attached to that CD that I've listened to that CD so many times and I know it word for word what I'm going to say, any question I get asked. So
yeah.
An agent needs to know what they're going to say if they get challenged on fee,
yep.
If they get to a property and they get asked a question, what they're going to say. So that would be probably number one. I'd say go and get Aaron's CDs that he's got On Top of Your Game. because that's been awesome for me. The second one is the database. That database we weren't utilising, and I'm not sure what the listeners do with their database. They probably were a lot better than what we were because we were hopeless. Right. And now that we're managing that, managing our buyers and our sellers with SMS, emails, phone calls, and when we're going to do that, okay?
Yep.
Probably the third one I would say would be our marketing. Our marketing today is really good, and Aaron talks about it, and we got this from Aaron as well, his 24 points of contact.
Yes, yep, very right? powerful.
So with 24 points of contact, as he said, from 0 to 9, people don't even know who you are. From 10 to 15, they know what sort of what you do. But from, you know, 16 to 24 points of contact, they know what you, you know, where you are, what you do, and,
yep.
you know, if they're going to sell a house, they're going to sell it through you.
You're a household name.
Yep, you're a household name, exactly. So that's what we do with our marketing. Our 2,000 flyers every week goes to a home.
Yeah, okay.
And, you know, they're from our sold properties too. You know, our price drive letters that we're doing at the moment where they just get, it's, as you say, Ray, it's give to get marketing. So, you know, you've got to, as we give a book away, give your book away, we give the information on the properties that have sold, 9 critical mistakes, how to not undersell your home.
Yep.
So these sort of things that we give to people, when they ring up, it's pretty much, well, they're going to get a book, they're going to get this, they're going to get that, and I'm going to tell them what the home's worth.
Yeah.
And then they go in our system and we follow them up from there.
Troy, it's such a successful, I mean, I personally have used it for many years and so many people do now, but it's such a successful way because it totally changes the game. Most agents are on the front foot asking for things. Do you want an appraisal? Here's my logo. Yeah. Here's my phone number. When you turn that around and you're offering powerful information, you're offering like a best-selling book, or you're offering, you know, a market report, it totally changes the game. It's interesting that you've done that.
Yeah, all that marketing that we learnt from pretty much you when you got up there and spoke in November 2012, you spoke about the marketing and how powerful it was to get people in your door.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much, we were doing free appraisals like everyone else was doing, you know, and, and the phone wasn't ringing. I've got 5 price drives to do today.
Yeah, that's interesting.
I wouldn't have got 5 appraisals in a month when we were doing that 2 years ago.
Well, you guys,
you know, just a free appraisal.
You guys, yeah, well, absolutely. But the systems that you put in place are producing it, and it seems to me from what you've told me is that you've also very cleverly delegated a lot of those what I call, I guess, non blue dollar actions, the things that aren't directly making you money. You've delegated those to others in your team. And they know exactly what to do. You've got a system in place. And, you know, we talk about the beauty of McDonald's where the systems that, you know, these are million-dollar companies run by kids who probably can't make their beds in the morning. It's phenomenal.
Exactly.
And so if you can do it for that, it can't be too hard to do it in real estate. So it's, you know, like I said, I take my hat off to you. You've done a great job. Tell me.
I'm more than happy to send through all that information that we do with our price drive because it's by far the best thing we've ever done in marketing. We had 66 appraisals we did last year.
Wow.
And we're just in the first week of doing it. I think I've done 17 this week. There will be 17 today when I do them.
Well, mate, that is one very generous offer. I'm going to take you up on it, and I'm going to say yes. If you can please email me that. I know what you're talking about, but I'd love to see it with your branding on it so people can see exactly what you've done. I will be posting that to the show notes so people can check it out there and download it and copy it and put it to work. I'm going to let you go. Before I do, I just want to ask one question. I have something of a soft spot, I guess, for people who have who are in their first year or so in real estate. You might remember what it's like. I certainly do. And it's not always that easy. It's getting started. I believe so many people, and, you know, our industry is great at getting people to crash and burn, and the churn rate, as we call it in real estate, is exceptionally high, way too high, I believe. But so many people come into our industry and leave. So what would you say to somebody who's either in a bit of a slump or they're in their first year or so and they're just trying to get traction? It's like they take a step forward and 2 steps back. They're spinning their wheels, as we say. What would you say they should focus on to improve their results?
Well, the number one thing I'd say would go and join up with Best Agents. That'd be the number one thing, because if we hadn't have joined with you guys, we'd be probably still doing the same thing we were doing 2 years ago.
Okay. What about procedurally, though, if you're – and thanks for the plug, but – like, your day to day, what should you be focusing on? What would you be doing if you started again tomorrow?
Yeah, if I started again tomorrow, I think it's always be branding. So always be branding yourself. And when you get a listing or when you get a sale, try and use that with social media, like get them to put something on Facebook and tag you into it.
Right.
Just to try and create and get your profile out there about what you do.
Okay.
Because if, you know, you say, if someone picks up the phone and calls an agent to sell a home and they don't call you, it's because they don't know you. Right?
Okay.
They don't know what you do.
Yep.
Whereas
totally.
You can get to as many people as you can, obviously with your marketing, with yourself, social media, whatever, or just that type of thing, I say would be what I would start with.
Okay.
Just leverage as much as you can. And if you do a really good job and you can get the people to obviously do testimonials for you, things like that. Anyone that comes into my office and I sell a home for, I get a video of them now and I ask them what they, you know, what they thought of the service, the business, you know, how we sold the property. So they talk about the process and then you can use that. So those type of things that I would recommend someone starting out to try and you get a listing, promote it. You know, if you sell a home, promote yourself. But you don't want to be promoting yourself by yourself. You want the person that you've sold the property for to promote you. And then, you know, obviously go from there, work on that when you're moving to the next sale or next listing.
You guys have got a terrific formula for that. And like I said earlier, if anybody wants to check out how Troy's done it, and I suggest you do, go to topagentsplaybook.com and I'll be posting the videos up there so you can check it out. Troy, I could ask you questions all day, but I try to keep these down to half an hour, and I've already gone over time. I want to thank you so much for giving up your time today and wish you all the best for an awesome year. And I'm looking forward to catching up at Recharge on the beautiful Gold Coast in Queensland this October.
Yeah, that's going to be great. Yeah, thanks for having me on the show, and thanks for all your help over the last couple of years. It's been awesome to get from where we were to where we are today. We couldn't have done it without you and Aaron.
Oh, mate, it's just such an impressive. Well, you guys got off your butt and made it happen. That's what impresses us so much.
Thanks, Ray.
Okay, mate.
You've been listening to the Top Agents Playbook podcast. For show notes from this episode, recent podcasts, and lots more, go to topagentsplaybook.com.